Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Part three of constitutional typing. Why? Why are we continuing in this journey with the third part to the same concept? Because if you can take this in, if you can just absorb what's useful, just take what makes sense, and when you get confused, let it alone. What you'll do over these three shows, this being the third show, is get to know yourself better, the specific you, so you can contour your diet, your exercise, the way you organize your life, your supplements, in a better way for you. And that's without seeing a doctor. That's even without getting too involved in these sometimes difficult to understand books that get published. If you go to the website, you'll see a bunch of the books that we've evolved these series of shows out of. All right, today we're going to get into Peter D'Adamo's Eat Right for Your Blood Type, blood typing. The lectin theory, a concept that says based on how we evolved our bloodlines over the last 100,000 years, that you today on this beautiful, sunny, gorgeous autumn day might get up and decide to do yoga. Or you might get up and say, yoga is not for me. I don't get the charge out of that. I've got to go out and sprint a couple of miles. Or depending on the day, you might choose either. You might be the person that says, well, I've got to balance it out between the two, because if I do too much of one, I start to feel like I need the other. Or you might be completely and totally enigmatic, meaning you're capable of showing the optimal physiological response to anything you do. For instance, if you're a blood type O, which, as we're going to explain later, is the hunter-gatherer type. That's the first in line of human evolution. So from Neanderthal, we went to Cro-Magnon. Your earliest blood O's, then, are in the genome a good 100,000 years ago or so. And O, being the carnivore, the hunter, the gatherer, is going to want that intense physical exercise. They're going to be that multitasking, hard-driven, I want it now, and if you're in my way, I'm going to figure out a way to knock you over. That's the O tendency. That does great on a football field. That does great when there's a lot of land. That does wonderfully when there's not too much population. That did wonderfully 30,000 years ago. 30,000 years ago, well, for what we know, we weren't farming. Hadn't figured that one out yet. Some say, like Jared Diamond, a book called The Human Ape. Jared Diamond's book we discussed said we only went to the agrarian lifestyle because we had to, and that really it wasn't a natural, more intelligent adaptation. It really wasn't necessarily better that we could save for a rainy day by stocking grain. That really the hunter-gatherer, the original blood O, did much better, worked less, had better hours, better benefits, had an easier, happier life. That wasn't the stereotype of what we thought primal man was, that 30,000-year-old man, that caveman. Well, yes, they all succumbed to infectious disease, parasitic infection. They were often hunted as predators, but by the time the O bloods came into the world, they were evolved enough to eat the big game. They were true carnivores, which is why the O blood today is going to go out and play football. The O blood today is going to go out and sprint around the track. The O blood is the person who, if they don't move their body, they don't balance their endocrine system. The first cue when you don't balance your endocrine system is what? Obesity. You gain weight. Now, there's a lot of reasons to gain weight. And there's a lot of exceptions to everything I'm going to say today, which I'm going to take a moment to clarify here, is what's so confusing about typing. So when we say typing, you get a piece of paper and you get a pen. What I want you to do today is write down on that sheet of paper, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Remember, if you're new to the show, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Hear the past shows. If you're a regular, fantastic, you know what a Vata and a Pitta and a Kapha mean. That's kind of that light-boned, very slender individual. That's the Twiggy. That's the stairway model. That's the person that's got to do things in a regular routine, or it kind of knocks them out of their flow. Their nervous systems can't adapt. Their issue is to put more meat on the bone. Unlike the Kapha, the fun-loving, jovial, thick-boned, heavy-boned Jane Russell, Sophia Loren, Mike Tyson, good-natured Kapha, who tends to congest, who doesn't have problems putting on muscle and weight. Now, the Kapha has one issue. The Vata's got another. The Pitta's got the issue of fire. Pittas tend to congest in the liver. Pittas tend to put muscle on very easily, but that muscle is on the level of the sinew. And whether you're Vata, Pitta, Kapha, or a blend, you've got to now on that sheet of paper put liver, fire, earth, water, and metal. Do that. That's your Chinese configuration. So we've got the Vedic system asking you to classify yourself as a Vata, a Pitta, or a Kapha. You've got the Chinese system saying you're a blend now of liver, which is wood, fire, which is heart, earth, which is spleen, water, which is kidney, and metal, which is lung. And I put pictures on the website. So you go to straighttalk.cc, you get on the literature section, and up comes these different faces, faces 1 through 5 there. If you're on the website, in the literature section, faces 1 through 5. That's Ben Affleck there. That's the wood face. Then the next woman's the water face. The third woman, that's Nicole Kidman. That's the fire face. And that thicker, sort of chubbier, earthy face is the earth face. And last is the metal. That's the narrower head, the longer face. More angular in their distribution. So do this. Vata, Pitta, Kapha, wood, water, fire, earth, metal. Then today we're going to get into blood type. Blood type A, blood type B, blood type O, which is what we're going to continue, blood type AB. If we have time today, we'll get into the glandular types. Are you an adrenal type? Are you a thyroid type? Are you a pituitary type? There's 5 characterizations. Then are you sympathetic dominant or parasympathetic dominant? Are you oxidative or non-oxidative? This is for later. I don't know if we're going to get to sympathetic, parasympathetic, oxidative, non-oxidative. Then we're going to get to your anthropology. We might even get to your astrology. And collectively, we've got 9 different ways to constitutionally type yourself. And that's going to confuse you, but it's not going to confuse you because here's the cues. These are the guidelines so you don't get confused. Got to understand, no system, no constitutional system, no diagnostic system is ever supposed to create dogma, meaning it's always right all the time, no exception, and it's perfectly thought out. That is nonsense. So if you want to accumulate real knowledge, if you want to get to the point where you can be functional with bodies of work, different systems of work, what you've got to do is absorb what's useful. I'm going to get into constitutional typing today, blood typing. As I said, we've already done the Vata, the Pitta, the Kapha, liver, fire, earth, water, metal. Today we'll go into blood typing. How are you supposed to integrate all this? By absorbing what's useful. What you hear me say on the radio that hits you, smack between the eyes, you absorb. What doesn't make sense, well, you try to learn a little bit more, but at a certain point you have to understand that the defect may not be you. It may be the system. Don't think that any of these systems are dogmatic. Look, you've got to look at it from the standpoint of the doctor. What does the doctor do? The doctor studies everything. Then the doctor applies everything. If we really had it figured out, cookie cutter, one size fits all, if we really figured out constitutional typing to the T, well, it wouldn't look like this. There'd be no confusion. It'd be like fixing a car. And even fixing cars are confusing. But there would be a systematization that everyone would be left at ease with. That's not holistic medicine. That's not healing. The path to healing using systems, paradigms, typings can confuse you unless you get the magic trick. And that is, when I say that an O blood is a carnivore, that you today might want to get up and get out there and start running on this fine autumn Saturday, rather than going into a more meditative yoga class, and that hits you right between the eyes, you scored. Now, if I say O bloods, okay, aren't supposed to drink a certain kind of alcohol, or they're not supposed to eat dairy, and yet you love yogurt, or you love cheese and you digest cheese well, throw it out. Eating right for your blood type, blood typing, was attacked. It was about the lectin theory. It said that certain foods had little protein molecules in them called lectins. And depending on your blood type, that specific lectin would agglutinate your blood. And when it agglutinated your blood, you'd feel lousy. Okay, it wasn't an allergic response. Allergies are not what we're talking about here. An allergy is when a food or molecules from a food get into your bloodstream and the immune system sees them and attacks them, and antibodies are created in that process. So you can have antibodies to the antigen of certain foods. That's an allergy. The peanut allergy, the strawberry allergy, the typical classic allergy where you eat a food and all of a sudden you've got, you know, rashes all over your body and you're itching and it's terrible and it goes on for a while. That's an allergy. Agglutination is a response. It's not a good response. It's potentially a dangerous response. I'm hoping that somebody in the audience understands that we've already discussed agglutination of the blood. You got it. I'll give away two bottles. The question of the day. Blood typing. Peter Diodelmo's book, Eat Right for Your Blood Types, talks about agglutination. If you were to eat a bunch of foods, all the wrong foods, and we'll get into what that means, and agglutinate your blood, what topic? It's two words. What topic in relationship to the blood are we talking about? What is agglutination? And how does agglutination drive disease? And what in the Chinese model have we discussed in the past? Have we harped on consistently? Two bottles of Carl for the first two people that can tell me. There's today's quiz. Fantastic. You got a minute to get that done. Absorb what's useful and forget the rest. A lot of times when we're constitutionally typing people, we're talking about the thoroughbred, somebody that's a high vada. So I'm going to start applying today. Twiggy, your classic runway model. People who, just by their nature, inherent nature, can't put weight on. Everything seems to rattle them. They're very charismatic. Audrey Hepburn, very, very effervescent, very bubbly. But high metabolisms. They can't take a lot of stress from a lot of different directions. It exhausts them. The vata, the pitta, the kapha. If any of those groupings are you, you may be a thoroughbred for that. In other words, you may be a high vata, or a high pitta, or a high kapha. Mike Tyson's a high kapha. Sophia Loren is a high kapha. They're almost all kapha. You may be a blend. if you're a blend, you don't have to get confused about it. Pick from the traits of each and say, that's me. And then pick from the traits of each and say, that's me. And when you add those traits up, you're going to start to understand that you can easily be a blend of these things. So when we lay it out originally, when you're listening originally, as you've listened to the last few shows, if you look at the pictures on straighttalk.cc, if you look at those pictures in the radio literature section, you're going to see extreme examples. The reality of constitutional typing is that you may be a blend. Again, that's not a problem. Because you may say, well, yes, in fact, I have a pitta kapha kind of a constitution, which means my bones are a little bit bigger, but I have fire in my belt. When I go for something, I shoot for it like a snake strikes out. My body moves with great emphasis and direction, and I tend to get hot with fire. I tend to agitate in the liver when I want something, when I'm driven for something. And then I'm not as jovial. I'm not as warm. I'm not as open-hearted when something's in my way and when I want to get it. But then again, when that's not the issue, I am rather relaxed and jovial. And yes, my bones are a little bit bigger. And yes, I tend to congest. But I can also turn to heat or fire. I notice that when I cool down my liver, when I eat more bland foods, at certain phases of the week or of the month or to the season, well, then it cools my pitta and I have to build my kapha. So you might be a blend of these. Again, that doesn't have to confuse you, because what you want to do is absorb what's useful. Remember, if you're the thoroughbred or the hybrid. And as we lay out the systems, don't think that these systems necessarily integrate. Well, later on, we're going to talk about the thyroid type. When we get to glandular types, if we can get there today, we're going to talk about glandular types. Glandular types, like the adrenal type, tend to be the kapha, but they can also be the pitta. Thyroid types tend to be the vata. Pituitary types, well, we could say they tend to be the pitta, but not necessarily. So when you start to learn multiple systems, you cannot look for a higher integration sometimes. This is important. All right, we're going to go on. But to avoid confusion, one, you absorb what's useful. You forget the rest. You get that piece of information that just resonates with you. Then you have to consider, are you a thoroughbred? Are you very much like that? Or maybe you a mix? And then as you start to learn different systems, from the Ayurvedic system to the Chinese system to blood typing to glandular typing to oxidative typing to anthropological typing, don't necessarily expect them to integrate. They may contradict each other at times. And then you're the consumer that says, well, I'm so confused. No, you're not the consumer that gets confused. You're the consumer that adapts your perspective. Adapt your perspective as you integrate systems so you can understand how to absorb what's useful. One more time and then we'll go on. Adapt your perspective so that you can integrate systems by absorbing what's useful. Oh, bloods, you woke up this morning. You're the ancient blood type. Traits of the O blood. First of all, you're most of the population. A good 30-40% of the population are O bloods. Most people are O blood. O bloods are carnivorous. O bloods secrete more hydrochloric acid to back up their carnivorous nature. O bloods do not tolerate dairy well. When an O blood does a carb, a grain, their insulin spike is enormous. Not good. O-bloods don't do well with dairy. O-bloods don't do well with grain. Now, you may be an O-blood that does well with grain. Remember what I said. But O-bloods generally, and this is the point, and this is why I mentioned Diadamo, and this is why, for as much as the lectin theory has been attacked, for as much as when Diadamo laid out, and we'll get to this later, the best foods for the O-blood, the worst foods for the O-blood, the best foods for the A-blood, the worst foods for the A-blood. For as much as he laid those out, lots of people, now, contradiction, but you're going to absorb what's useful. Because in Diadamo's work, and again, Peter Diadamo learned a lot of this from his father, John. Little history, his dad, John Diadamo, practiced in Brooklyn, New York City, in Brooklyn, one of the boroughs in New York City. And he practiced with Bernard Jensen. Now, Bernard Jensen, young chiropractor at the time, had to leave the Northeast because he had asthma. And the damp cold, which was the source of the asthma for Jensen, was remedied out in Escondido, out here in the San Diego area, where Jensen got a farm and started to start his institute. But they both knew each other. They both respected each other. They were colleagues. They were both into typing. Jensen has a very involved system of typing that I hope we can get to eventually. Again, absorb what's useful. So Diadamo says that the O blood, as they measure it, has these outrageous insulin spikes, meaning you eat the carb or the grain, and even though it's a complex carb, even guys like Dr. McDougall and the whole slew of the carb eaters, the people who say carbs are good, and for some carbs may be good, but their tendency, the strong tendency for the O blood is to spike their insulin. High insulin in the body sets up many, many, many bad things. First of all, you store your energy as fat. You don't burn your sugar. You store your sugar as glycogen, but then you turn it to fat. So the first consequence then of an insulin spike is that you gain weight. Second consequence of an insulin spike is that it's toxic to the system. It's inflammatory. And in its inflammatory, if insulin is running too high too often, as well as blood sugar running too high too often, and you're the O blood that can't do a Snickers bar, maybe an O blood after they exercise needs a piece of meat, rare steak, and it balances their blood sugar. Maybe another blood type wants that carb. Maybe there's no universal law to that. The point is, if an O blood happens to do a Snickers bar or has something too carby after they work out, or whatever for that matter, the sugar goes too high. Once the sugar's too high, the adrenals deplete. So you start having a very high cortisol response to the high insulin. And now you got two problems. You got the insulin screwing up your entire metabolism towards weight gain, and then you've got the adrenals, and the high cortisol is the beginning of the end for the body. High cortisol has many deleterious effects. I won't get into them today, but just let's say if you're constantly hitting the carb and you're an O blood, you're going to go into some sort of inflammatory state, which is going to exhaust your adrenals eventually. And once the adrenals hit exhaustion, well, then you can't repair tissue. In other words, the consequence of an O blood eating too much grain, too much sugar, and not recognizing that, wow, suppose an O blood goes vegan. Suppose an O blood goes vegan. Then what are we dealing with? Well, what might we be dealing with? What we might be dealing with is, over a period of years, all the repair systems in the body, which depend upon the delivery of cortisol, once those repair systems begin to wear out, the body can no longer stay anabolic. You can't grow tissue in a state of high inflammation, in a state of high cortisol. It's more difficult. And worse than that, if the adrenals to high sugar carbs, which often you see with O bloods, starts to deplete the adrenals too far, meaning they get exhausted, then you start to go into the potential for disease, because over 10 or 20 or 30 years, you're not repairing damaged tissue. So long term, you start to really, really, really deplete. Now, a strong O blood, that may take 20 or 30 years. So you don't see it immediately. So there's a big one for your O blood types. They're meat eaters. When they exercise, they've really got to move their bodies. They don't do well to dairy. So if you're an O blood and you're into raw dairy, well, you've got to factor that in. Again, if you're an O blood and you try raw milk and you try raw cream and you try your yogurts and your kefirs and you're sure that they're good and your cheeses, you're doing your aged cheeses and you're doing your aged meat and you're doing all sorts of things dairy-wise that you think are good for you, but your body's not responding well. Well, this is how you interpret it. You absorb what's useful. So the O bloods didn't evolve with dairy because we weren't domesticating animals really when the O bloods were thriving. Now, something happened along the way to the O blood. And what happened in human evolution to the O blood came the A blood. And the A blood was in response to a phenomenon that I think we can well understand today. We were running out of space. There was much less space in the world as populations began to rise. And in that there was much less space, we got to the point where people had to learn to live together. Now, this was tandem to farming. Now, as Jared Diamond says in his studies, and I think his studies are beyond repute, I don't think you can disagree with his level of scholarship. But what Diamond is constantly pointing to is the move from the nomadic O-blood lifestyle, the lifestyle that ultimately would start succumbing to disease, to infection, that would ultimately succumb to heart disease, that was succumbing to all the things that you had to evolve out of a sense of survival into another blood type, comes the A blood. And as man across the world, across the globe, starts to farm, starts to domesticate animals, starts to grow grain, man starts to settle down, as for whatever reason, out of a survival mechanism, because the earth is getting more crowded, because we're learning more perhaps, and we can make grains. Whatever the reason, we birth the A blood. The A blood goes back about 15,000 to 20,000 years. So the A blood's the second blood type. And the A blood, a good way to think of the evolution of the blood types is in response to a changing world. It's our evolutionary heritage that we're talking about here. And the A blood was born out of higher population densities, which is fascinating. And again, this is about to hit you right between the eyes. A bloods tend to be the internalizers, while the O blood wants it now, knows how to go out and get it. Metaphorically, doesn't mind taking the spear and chucking the spear to get what they want. And then they feel good. Then they relax. When the O blood goes out and conquers and gets, the O blood relaxes. If it tramples over a few people along the way, well, in fact, that's all part of it. They make great football players. But the A blood is the diplomat. The A blood's the person in the crowd who thinks about the feelings of everybody else, who doesn't really stamp their opinion and seal the meeting based on their point of view, but likes to bring everybody else. They caretake. They hold emotionally everybody else's opinion, and they keep it inside. A's internalize. And internalization is good, just like externalization is good. And when you type yourself, whether you're A blood or O blood, Vata, Pitta, Kapha, you're always going to have your good, and you're always going to have the downside. And that's the beauty of typing. And the more typing you do, the better, because then you can optimize what's you as you grow out without getting confused. So there's that A blood. That may be you. You went to yoga today. You went out and did a somewhat physical class, but it wasn't boot camp. Your blood doesn't have to move like rocket fuel through your arteries and veins for you to feel relaxed. In fact, if you do get too aggressive in your workout, if the class is too fast, if it starts to feel like boot camp, you as the A blood don't like it. It makes you nervous. Hey, didn't that yoga class relax you? No, it didn't. It was yoga, but it was like boot camp. It was power yoga. It was core yoga. It was flow yoga. It was an aggressive yoga. It was a military yoga. That's what the A blood doesn't want. The A blood gets nervous to that. The A blood likes mild. The A blood likes a little bit more serene environment. Nor does the A blood eat for that kind of aggression. A bloods don't do well with red meat. Again, is that you? When you eat a grass-fed, organic, high-quality piece of steak, lamb, chopped meat, red meat, even if it's a small portion, do you feel midday? I mean, if you do everything right, do you feel that it sits in your stomach? Well, D'Adamo said, yeah, there's a reason for that. A bloods evolved out of farming communities. They evolved out of a more agrarian lifestyle. And it wasn't so much that there were farms in 15,000 BC, 10,000 BC, but people were starting to domesticate animals. They were starting to live in communities. And that communal living made it necessary for a different disposition, thus the evolution of the blood type. Today, your A bloods are often, not always, but often low hydrochloric acid. The A bloods go low HCl. The A bloods don't go autoimmune. The A bloods do much better. They're the last people, or I should say, they have less of a tendency to eat the grain and have the reaction. Gluten intolerance, that's the O blood. Gluten intolerance, that's more the B blood. Gluten intolerance, other types of problems with grains, are not so much the problem of the A blood. The A blood likes to pick at a carb meal in small quantities all day long. The A blood likes to eat five or six times a day. The O blood is more likely to just knock down a large piece of meat and eat it before somebody takes it, because they can't trust it won't be taken away. I kid you not. Big meat eaters that feel good and balanced, that like to go out and work out hard, that's not all of us. That's the O blood. The A blood evolved out of the inability or the understanding that you couldn't do that wide open range lifestyle as easily anymore. And today the O blood will take its meals in little bits, will tend to move towards the grains, the very grains that will upset, the gluten-rich grains that will upset the O blood, the A blood doesn't feel the effect of. The A bloods can get cancer. The A bloods can get heart disease. The O bloods can get cancer. They can get heart disease. There's tendencies relative to the B bloods. While the B bloods, which we're going to get to, get autoimmune disease. And there's a reason for that. So when you're talking about A blood, then, you're talking about the grain eaters. If an A blood takes intelligent vegetarianism, they start sprouting their grains. If the A blood begins to make the seed cheeses, if the A blood takes the best, the slight digestive issues, the digestive issues that challenges all in the grain kingdom, if an A blood capitalizes on what we know of higher intelligent vegetarianism through making of seed cheeses, through soaking the nuts, if the A blood goes to the sprouting, to the lifestyle which takes the issue of that we all suffer from, the cellulose and the different inhibitors in the plant that prevent digestion that all blood types, that all people will be challenged by. If the A blood, rather than being malnourished, begins to capitalize upon the higher ways to do intelligent vegetarianism and avoids the red meats, now you start to see the A blood thrive. If the A blood understands that at a certain point, that ability to take care of everybody in the group at the expense of themselves, if they begin to externalize and balance out their internalized nature, then the A blood begins to thrive emotionally. So that tendency, and that's the thing about typing. Typings are tendencies which are your assets, but if you're not aware of them, they become your liabilities. It's great to internalize. When you externalize too rapidly, you lose friends. It's less socially intelligent. But if an A blood capitalizes on their internalization and does it too much, they begin to create physiological disruption. Their nervous system doesn't know how to balance out. And it's the same thing with the O bloods. They can be way too externalized and way too, that's mine, I want it now, get out of my way. And the downside to that is what? The downside to every type that you can talk about is when you don't counter it because you don't know it exists. So how would an O blood counter their stress? Well, they'd get vigorous exercise. How would an A blood counter their stress? They'd exercise, but they'd exercise things that are more serene in their nature. Maybe it would be yoga. Maybe it would be Pilates. It wouldn't be kickboxing. The O blood watches insulin spikes to balance blood sugar and eats, stays way away from dairy and grain. The A blood may, because their body tells them, and this is the point to you, may go vegetarian, but then they've got that issue of how do you digest vegetarian food? Well, A bloods can have problems, which if they enhance through proper techniques, from sprouting to making of the seed cheeses, then the A blood begins to flourish with a vegetarian diet. At a certain point, something happened in Asia that affected the world. And we don't know from where they came. We can only speculate why they came. But as the Mongolian tribes took over the world, and again, we don't think, generally speaking, on that level, that you woke up one day or you watched the world over 1,000 years and people from different parts of it dominated the entire globe, mixed their genes. But this is, well, it's always happened. But it happened during the Mongol hordes. From about 10,000 years ago, Mongolian tribes moved west into Europe, swept across Asia, moved west into Europe. And I'm not talking about Genghis Khan. This is 10,000 years ago. But we know where the B blood, which is what we're going to talk about, began. They sprouted somewhere in Mongolia, somewhere in northern India. And we do know that as those tribes progressed, again, this is 10, 15,000 years ago. So the A bloods are 20, 30,000 years ago. The O bloods are 30 to 100,000 years ago. Your B bloods are 10 to 15,000 years ago, where from Asia, northern Asia, Mongolia, spreading west and even spreading east into the rest of Asia are these warrior tribes mixing with what's in Europe at the time. And again, we're not really talking about the Germans and the Italians and the Polish because we're not divided up like that 10 to 15,000 years ago. But what became the German, what became the Italian, what became the Greek, what became the Spaniard, what became the Russian, came from people who often traced their lineage back that far. They just weren't called those names. No doubt, no matter how you describe it, There was an infiltration all the way to the Ural Mountains and beyond into Eastern Europe by these tribes. And out of that birthed the bee blood. And what we're pretty sure happened, as the story goes, is this was the first time where, because of conquest, because of the integration that comes with conquest, these nomadic tribesmen mixed with A bloods. You had a merger of the O blood and the A blood. So you had gene swapping amongst people who were carnivorous, meat-eating, nomadic, aggressive, warlike types, and types that were evolving into clans, groups, groups that were exploring grain, groups that were understanding the higher levels, so to speak, of social interaction that comes with groups. And out of, again, man's instinct to survive and prosper came another blood type, the B blood. Today, only 8% of the population. Your O bloods, about 37-40%. Your A bloods, another large percentage. Now we're getting down into something we see much less of in population throughout the world, the B bloods, born out of this phase in human history where nomads were settling their terms all over the globe and springing and putting the agrarians, or what was evolving as agrarian, into compromised positions and asking the A blood to survive. So we had warlike O's spreading from Asia to the West, asking the more agrarian types to cope and adapt and evolve. In terms of genetics, the number of mutations, this is a fascinating fact, the number of mutations, it's one of the things you can read in D'Adamo's book. The number of mutations it took to get the mixture of A and O into B was four times the number of mutations that we see in the fruit fly, the little insect, the Drosophila, that we study extensively to understand what it means to swap genes and create different lines. And when we study the genetics of the evolution of the A and the O to the B, the number of mutations is four times greater. So you're talking about, as we evolve now, the B and then the AB, enormous societal pressures. Ultimately, we may be talking about enormous climatic pressures. And that's something to mention, that as the B blood evolved, the climates were changing. It was the end of the ice age. So 15 to 10,000 years ago, just as the B blood is emerging, the climates are changing throughout the globe. It's getting warmer. The glaciers are receding. And as they recede, man spread and pressured those semi-agrarian societies. And out of that pressure, out of that highly accelerated rate of mutation, come the B bloods. 8% of the population, the B bloods, can mix the lifestyle of the O with the lifestyle of the A. Often stated, the B bloods are for balance. And D'Adamo had understood them that way, that the B blood took the best of the O and the best of the A, that the B blood needed to balance. If you took the B blood and you asked the B blood to just eat meat or just go grain, the B blood couldn't do that. The B blood always has to switch it up. Now, everybody has to switch it up. And if you're confused, you've got to remember to absorb what's useful. If you're a B blood, your health history might have an abundance of autoimmune issues. If your lineage is B, you're going to have a minimum of cancer. If your lineage is B and you eat and act correctly for your blood type, you'll minimize heart disease. And when you get it, you'll recover from it faster. But autoimmune issues, lupus, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, even something like diabetes, which is in some level autoimmune, or what we call autoimmune. This is not the B blood. This is what the B blood gets, the autoimmune problem. They resist cancer, they resist heart disease, they get autoimmune disease. They're down the middle. If that carnivorous line doesn't grab you, and if that vegetarian lifestyle doesn't grab you, if you know you've just got to settle down somewhere in the middle and your B blood, bingo. So these statements, these constitutional types, the cough has got to decongest, the pit has got to cool down, the VOD has got to build up. If you've got a wood face like Ben Affleck, you need to stretch those tendons out. If you've got a water face like the lady on the website, you've got to make sure that you move water through your body, that you move water, because if you don't circulate, if you don't work your kidneys, if you don't take care of your kidneys, if you don't keep that water tendency dry, so to speak, if you're a metal type, a lung type, and on that basis, you're prone to dryness, dryness through the skin, dryness through the lung. You tend to resist deep breath. If any of these things get to you, well, just take what works. If you're B blood's from their genotype, okay, from their blood type, can do better with dairy. And yet many Asians are B blood. Northern Indians are B blood. Mongolians are B blood. Japanese are B blood. Across the Ural Mountains, the most B you're going to get is in Eastern Europe. By the time you get to Western Europe, Spain, France, England, Ireland, Norway, Sweden, by the time you're in Western Europe, your percentages of B bloods drop to next to nothing. Africa has almost no B bloods. Africa is mostly O bloods. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Africans are O bloods and A bloods. Most of your African Americans today are O bloods, and then some of them are A bloods. Very rarely do you find an African that's a B blood. But the point is, if you're a B blood, your body can digest dairy. There's something called the antigen of B blood is a beta galactosamine, beta galactose. Beta galactose is really what milk is. And because the two are the same, B bloods from their genetics, not from their anthropology, meaning the culture of China, of northern India, may in fact not have accepted in many, many cases using dairy. But the reality is that a lot of B bloods, they'll do much better with cheese. They'll digest ice cream. They're less lactose intolerant. An O blood with lactose, unless it's raw, hard experience. A bloods are a little more tolerant. But the B blood really can do the dairy. The B blood, in terms of food, loves red, loves lamb. The B blood does extremely well in terms of red meat, more with lamb than beef, corn, lentils, peanuts, buckwheat, sesame seeds, potatoes, white potatoes. Many of your B bloods have problems with these. Each of your blood types has lists of foods, and you can easily look them up. Which brings me to one of the conclusions or aspects of blood typing as it evolved was to put under each blood type different types of foods. And these foods would generally stimulate your metabolism into physiological balance, and they were termed very beneficial. And then you had foods that you had to avoid because they would put weight gain on. If you look through those lists of foods, again, the power here is not to do that dogmatically. The power here is to do it in a way where if the food grabs you, then you have a consciousness about it that you start to apply more often. For instance, with the B blood, it says that they won't like peanuts. If you're a B blood and you don't like peanuts, don't take that as a coincidence. Take that as a reinforcement of self. That's the concept. If you're a B blood and you love rack of lamb, take that as a reinforcement of yourself. But if you're an O blood and you like love rack of lamb, or you're an A blood and you love rack of lamb, that's where you have to discard it. So again, that point, these are exercises, typing, blood typing, etc., are exercises for you to learn what works for you, which means when it works, and when it doesn't, and you test it in your body, then throw out the piece of advice. So if you're A blood and you like meat, eat meat. Again, in the end, how do you know? Well, that's kind of like one of the drivers on the show, to listen to your body. But in the end, all constitutional typing is just an exercise for you to feel what's right in you. But again, that's not something we can assume. People don't necessarily feel what's right for themselves that easily. And the more we go into techno society, the less we go into ourselves. And that's the perspective you bring to constitutional typing. Otherwise, you get lost, so don't get lost. So then came the enigma, the great enigma. Only 1,200 years old are your AB bloods. Your AB bloods. Only 1,200 years old. Right now, the AB blood is about 2% of the population. The B blood's about 8% of the population. In 10,000 years, in 20,000 years, there may be a new blood type. In 10,000 years, half the population may be AB blood. What we're going to select and deselect from the gene pool is going to be in response to the very same thing that created the first mutations in blood type. That's fascinating to me. And what we may be left with, rather than 2% of the population, is enigmatic. Presently, we really don't understand the AB bloods. They're the best of the A's and the best of the B's, we say, but not all the time. And what that means is to each their own. Very difficult to give advice to an AB blood. If you do the readings, there'll be advice, but the authors, the Adamo, etc., are always quick to caution that the AB blood is the one that breaks the rules all the time. If you're out there and you're confused and you're AB blood and you're dealing with it and you're looking for counsel, how do I do it? What's the way for me? Vegetarian doesn't work. Carnivorous lifestyles don't work. Even when I mix it, I get confused. And your AB blood, bingo. I hope that hit you right between the eyes. You know what the AB blood is? The AB blood is the bloodline of consciousness. Consciousness. Meaning that from the caveman to today, it's said, and I don't think it's argued, that man has consciousness, awareness of self. If you take awareness of self into its deepest levels, its most significant levels, we don't need blood typing. We don't need Ayurvedic typing. We don't need Chinese typing. We don't need sympathetic, parasympathetic, oxidative, non-oxidative. We don't need astrology. We don't need anything. We only need to understand how to listen to our soul. And that's consciousness. And if you're AB blood, I hope this hits you right between the eyes, because AB bloods are the indigos. They're the ones who have consciousness. You must navigate your journey in life. Not that the O blood doesn't, but the AB blood defines the human evolutionary need in a techno-industrial society to evolve its consciousness. Something that some say we're not doing a good enough job of. They say that the world lacks consciousness, so the ecosystems disappear. Well, maybe that correlates with the fact that the AB blood's only 2% of the population. Maybe after a few wars. Maybe after a few serious incidences. Maybe in 100, 200, 300, 1,000 years. Maybe if, in fact, we're here in 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 years, we'll find out what we suspect today the AB blood has been brought here for. Consciousness. And what does consciousness mean to your health? It means that everyone's return to health is their own specific journey. And if you're dense and thick, if you're very rooted in the material plane, if your consciousness is a little less, you need more exercise, more classification, more systemization. You may even take that systemization, that categorization, to the point where you want it cookie cutter, one size fits all. What herb do I take for my symptom? Woe to you. Woe to you. Because on the other end of the evolutionary bloodline are the ABs, 2% of the population, bent on evolving us all to a higher state of consciousness where you'll know what's right for you. And that's what all this typing ultimately is. If you're still confused and you need a consciousness shift, 949-873-2127, 949-873-2127. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. See you next week.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.